This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello again. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. My name is Ryan Jones, joined once again by Katie Waite. Katie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. A very special edition of the podcast. There are two sleeping twins at your house, human twins.
There is a not sleeping
11-week-old puppy running around somewhere in this house. So
I know. So exciting.
So there's a good chance that there are three living things,
hopefully
neither of us, that not only will interrupt, but will probably pee and poo somewhere.
100% chance.
Yes. But let's start off with something that, you know, isn't bizarre and was a welcome sight. And that was JoJo visiting the bubble.
Yes. I missed her.
Oh, jinx. Look at that. Katie, you can talk.
We haven't seen her in such a long time. I mean, she does they do YouTube series and Instagram stuff, but we haven't seen her in a Bachelor Nation sense in a while. And it was like Tasia, a breath of fresh air.
Totally. And I'm pretty sure JoJo's the only Bachelor, Bachelorette person that I actively follow on Instagram, because her and Jordan are just fantastic to follow.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, they're great. And hopefully they get married sometime, but they're still together. So that's a plus.
That is a big plus in this world. And, you know, she was there it seemed like she was there as just a friend to Tayshia. But it turns out this was what we had heard about earlier after the Claire rumors. The next rumor was, oh, my God, Chris Harrison left the Bachelorette briefly to take his son to college. And that was sort of the first tip off to how they had shortened quarantine, because we're like, how could he possibly get back in the bubble if he's going to Texas?
Well,
I think his son's at SMU.
Yeah, even this morning, when you woke up, the tabloids were like, Chris Harrison leaves Bachelorette mid-episode. And it was like total clickbait, because obviously it was just for this maybe next episode or half of it, because we didn't really get a rose ceremony or anything. But yeah, it definitely made it seem like he was leaving the whole show, which it's 2020, so it honestly wouldn't surprise me. But we need him to help us get us through that. But when JoJo came in to talk to Tayshia, I mean, she wasn't really being any help to Tayshia. She's like, yeah, you're in a really tough position.
Well, especially when Tayshia's really coming off. Yeah, Tayshia's coming off this first time that she's gone through this, which every Bachelor and Bachelorette seemingly does, where it's like, I'm worried that this isn't going to work for me and I'm having doubts. And then enter JoJo, who you think is going to be like, go get him, kiddo. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, like, it's really
you're
tough.
You're just going to know. Yeah, you would think that, you know, all in the past, all these past people are like, oh, you're going to know, when you know. But then she comes in and she's like, oh, yeah, this is really hard. I'm glad that I'm not in your shoes anymore.
I liked the transfer, though, both with Chris, who let her do the entire date card situation as opposed to just leaving it and JoJo will be back later.
Yeah.
But also when she came in and introduced herself to the guy, she had this self-awareness that, like, you know what, as we've talked about, a lot of these guys never watch the show. So
yeah,
make sure I don't come in assuming they all know who I am. Like, they all know who Chris Harrison is because people who don't watch these shows know who Chris Harrison is.
Right.
And so I really like how the fact that she introduced herself, told her she was on the show, that the fact that she's still
in a
relationship.
Not sure if you know me, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah. You may recognize me from such advertisements as Tummy Tea.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was really great. And it seemed to perk the guys up a little bit, and not in the way Tayshia did, like walking out of the pool. I mean, in just a like,
I don't know, maybe Noah. I don't know.
Well, you can say that with Noah about everything, and we'll get to those shenanigans. But it starts off with a one-on-one, and Zach gets this date, and we learn a little bit more about him.
I mean, we're learning a lot more about everyone.
Right. I should say not a little more.
Especially this week. But yeah, definitely Zach. They took wedding pictures, which, as we learn a little bit later, he was married to. And as we know, she was married. So it was definitely a producer picked date for both of them. You could tell she was definitely nervous, and it started off really serious, and she didn't like it. But then he kind of, you know, talked her down from that ledge and was like, this is just for fun. Like, it's not, you know. And then after that, they started to have a lot of fun with each other.
Yeah, you could definitely tell it hit her in a way that, you know, obviously they're taught to talk things up in a certain way.
Yeah.
But this, you could tell, was like a legitimate, like, oh, okay, this is the first time I'm in a wedding dress. Not ever, because usually the people who've been on the show, if they haven't been married before, it's ha ha ha. This was, oh, what if this happens again? And
yeah,
I almost kind of wish they would have. And I mean, it was a good moment between them, but I kind of almost wish they would have, if she has it, used her original dress and did one of those trash the dress type things that seem to be popular. You know, unfortunately,
that would have been a good one.
A lot of people have an opportunity to do that. And I've seen a couple of those videos, and they seem taking the sort of the knife to the heart and like throwing it away and be like, no, we're going to have fun with this.
Yeah.
Which they ultimately did with the setup they had. I just kind of thought it would have been a fun twist on it to be like, no, this is me totally just cleanse the whole thing. But they ended up having fun, and it was a good time. But
I think
then,
that also has to do with, I'm not sure if we have really an update on what her like relationship is with her ex-husband. Like if it was, they left on, you know, friend terms, or if it was like not a good ending at all, or if they're just, or if she's just like, I'm not really sure how we ended it. Like, I don't think we have those details. So maybe it has something. Because I'm sure that was one of the producer's thoughts, like that would be a great, since that was such a, not a main storyline, but she has been married and it's not a secret, like we know this. So maybe it has something to do with what her relationship is with her ex-husband.
Yeah, that's a great point, because we found out with Zach that not only was he divorced, but we found out why he was divorced. And,
yes,
you know, talk about just a roller coaster, from finding out he had a brain tumor to immediate surgery to getting addicted to pills to basically just being, it sounded like, near death. And then that's why, and then his wife deciding to leave him. So it wasn't just like, oh, someone cheated or what, like it was like, oh, yeah, he was not in a good place.
Yeah, it was a really rough situation. And I think, you know, between that and having been married before too, I think that really moved their relationship forward, and they definitely bonded over the marriage thing, but she saw Zach in a different light, I think, and, you know, was happy he opened up that much. And I really liked them together.
Yeah.
It was a good date.
It was a great just revival story, because then the place that helped him get clean, he's on the board now. And because job title had always been addiction specialist, and they never really went into that. But I mean, clearly he's like high up there. And the fact that he's doing that kind of work that saved his life now for other people, I think
it was a lot.
Yeah. And that's a side we don't often get to see from these contestants. You know, we're so often just fed these vanilla sort of conversations. So it was kind of nice to see them go like,
I know she's killing it with the conversations. This is great. We need more substance.
Seriously, I'm hoping it's setting a little bit of a precedent, and no surprise that he gets the rose and they celebrate with a Ferris wheel. Because why wouldn't you bring a Ferris wheel into a hotel?
Of course. Why not? Just in the middle of a resort.
And
I don't know if you watched the deleted scene after this.
I did. Did his rose fall off?
Yeah. And she was like, she did not want to be on the Ferris wheel. Like, she was not, she was terrified. And like every time it creaked, she was like, oh my gosh, a screw fell out. And she thought a screw fell out, but it was really the rose. And it definitely lightened up the end of that date. It was pretty heavy conversations. But if you watch that scene, they still had a lot of fun, like on the Ferris wheel and laughing and joking and everything.
Yeah, and then everybody else but Easy goes on the group date, which starts off like it's a lot of fun. And then that takes a very big turn as well.
Yes, very big turn.
Right, so they walk into naked models. And because why wouldn't more people be naked in this season?
Obviously.
Just, you know, once you have something
that works. They can honestly just do anything this season.
Guys, we have to find something in a ballroom. What's going to make a ballroom exciting so that you're not paying attention to the plain walls
ballroom
everywhere?
Ballroom number two.
Yeah. Naked people. That's how we're going to do it.
Perfect.
And at first, they're thinking they're going to have to strip down. And why wouldn't they? Because this season. But then we find out they're drawing them. And I have to say, I don't do many things. I wouldn't consider myself better at a lot of things than these guys, especially on group date type situations where it's competing. Mm-hmm. This, I think I would have been better because they did not have any artists.
I wouldn't. They were better than I was.
A lot of stick figures having sex.
Yeah.
And I mean, good for Bennett, the stick figures.
Bennett was smart though. He took that seat next to Tasia in the... It was smart on his part.
Yes, it was. But it also, I think, ultimately led to, and I understand, obviously, the producers are involved, but giving her the reason to probably sell it to her of, okay, we need to deal with this now, because the fact that he specifically sort of slapped Noah out of the chair. And he can say all he wants, how, well, I've never been condescending to you. Every word he says to most people is condescending, normally good-natured. But to Noah, it's biting and it's mean. And this was just the start of it for the entire episode.
Yeah.
But yes, ultimately it was smart, because when they started making Clay, whatever, you know, Blake obviously made the penis, and because why not?
Obviously. That's right up the alley.
Yeah. Then they get to do the 50 Shades, and he's making out with her and none of the guys can see it. And so yes, you are 100% right. It was a smart move, but I do think it also led us to.
It was a foreshadowing moment to the end of the episode and beginning of next episode.
Yeah, because
and
why
hopefully
would you deliver,
that's the end.
Yeah, why would you deliver in 2 full hours what you promised in the coming attractions? But I digress. But then the date gets like totally serious because. They
really like out of the blue, like
totally
like, oh, now we're all going to share our feelings.
Well, not everybody took it that way, because it was, okay, you're going to, you know, you're going to canvas and I want you to do a self portrait. And I think everybody seemingly got it except Ben, who admittedly does not know how to talk about his feelings. So he literally drew a portrait of himself surrounded by colors. Yeah. And so everybody's pouring their heart out, and it gets to him and he's like, this is, never mind, I forgot something. And by forgot something, I mean
forgot my to strip.
My wang hanging out for you. And somehow turned that into a I show up for you moment, which.
And even the music was like, this is like a super romantic moment. And I was like, wait, what? Did I miss something?
She bought it.
Oh, I know. Because then she had the whole breakdown of, oh my gosh, I can't do this. There's so many great people, blah, blah, blah. But like, I didn't take that as
a romantic,
but like even the, because you can always tell with the music, obviously, in the back of the scenes in the episodes, even that was like, this is a really like stand up moment, like romantic. And I was like, I think I missed something.
Yeah. Are we not going to talk about the portrait that he did with like just colors surrounding himself? Like we're just going to forget that. And the fact that he was showing you and then sort of like, you know, like a fourth grader that didn't fill in his homework and was like, never mind. And like,
I'm going to do something else instead.
Yeah. Like I'm going to dance for you instead. I was shocked that because we've clearly been over the moon with praise for Tayshia and she deserves it. But this, I just didn't understand. And maybe she just wanted to keep it all positive, but how you take,
I wouldn't take this as like a high key romantic gesture. I would have been like, what are you doing?
And I also, I get the cuteness factor that Brandon, where he cuts out the canvas, but he literally did nothing.
Yeah.
As bad as Ben's was, at least he drew something. Brandon,
it was kind of clever though. Like he didn't have to do anything, but made it clever.
So and that one sounded more believable. So I'm not faulting her for like oohing and awing about it because it did. I mean, listen, that was a perfect land, like 10 on the landing. I get it. Mm-hmm. But I was a little unimpressed by the initial act. Like I think he pulled it off, but I'm like, really?
You're just, I took it literal.
I'm using a knife. That's how I'm doing it, this portrait. I'm like, where you have, you know, Riley talking about, you know, his mother and who had never been in his life. And then they reunite. And the reason I want this is because I never had it. I mean, real, just killing you inside. And then it's, here's my empty portrait and I'm turning it sideways so you can be in it.
And that's it.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, and that, you know, we get to the nakedness and that's what sends Tayshia off to cry in the hallway to a producer. And like you said, because of all these great guys, this is what it's like to date real men, even though Bennett and Noah are in there.
But I feel like maybe that should have happened after like a different one instead of Ben's. But I mean, maybe it was the editing part, maybe that's really what just pushed her over and was like, these men are actually, you know, getting deep and sharing all these hard stories. And maybe she took it that way. And that's what made her break down.
And it's cumulative too, because you did have a lot of, I mean, like I said, listening to Riley, there's no way to listen to that without feeling that, because that's as heavy as you're going to get when you're talking about why you want something and knowing exactly why. You know, it's hard for anybody to
articulate. Not only that, but for doing it in front of all those guys too. Like, good for these guys to, you know, share these deep stories about their pasts, not only to her, which is hard in itself, but to all these guys who obviously are judging you.
Right. No, I think that's important, because even Blake, who, again, everyone says all he does is talk about sex and he builds a penis and ha ha ha. But even he talked about his thing was about a turtle dove, which is monogamous. And you could have told me that was it. Like, you could have explained a turtle dove as anything and I would not have known if it was true or not. So
do we know? Is it true?
I don't. There you go. So it could be 100% false, but his delivery was flawless. And coming from Blake.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I believe him.
Right? Like, that's why I'm saying he could have said anything. And I would have like, yep. And from Blake, this is not somebody who I would normally think could sell something. And just to be doing it in front of all these dudes who, you know, some of them know him just as the bro guy who talks about sex and builds a penis. Like, this is not your normal.
Yeah, not
bachelor,
bad.
Bachelorette. Date, and it didn't start out that way, but again, stuck the landing. A lot of sticking the landing in this episode.
Mm-hmm. I thought before, because they had cut to Ben so many times saying he was so nervous. I thought he was literally just going to hold up a picture and be like, this is me. And that's it.
Well, that's basically what he did.
Well, yeah. I mean, then he pulled out a whole nother thing, but
he pulled out something.
But I thought that was going to be it. And that's where it was heading. And then he was just like, oh, hold on. I forgot something. But yeah. they kept cutting to him saying, I'm so nervous. I have so much to say, but I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, I was definitely expecting him to deliver what he did initially, not the second part. And then, and fall on his face because he did, except in the last minute, he realized, oh, wow, everyone took this really seriously. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need to improvise. And yes, kudos, I guess, because it landed, but whew. And she did give a little, she did the quick look down. I don't think I didn't notice that. And
oh yeah,
I
mean, obviously
if I were there, I would have too. I mean, it's just, just human nature. You're like, okay, you're able to do that with one hand. So, I mean,
but then poor Bennett, like you just get the back view, this whole conversation.
I didn't even think about that. And the thing is with Bennett, and maybe that's why, but I don't know if you noticed in the background, when Tayshia was walking around, I don't know if it was in the middle or the end, he's yawning.
Yeah.
Like, again, maybe foreshadowing to
maybe,
you know, to him getting on Tayshia's bad side. But I'm like, this is not the time to be yawning. I know there's not
stuff to do.
Seriously. Talk about Harvard again. Don't yawn.
Yeah. Or just yawn. It's fine.
And, you know, the cocktail hour, I mean, to me, that was more of just more of a recap of what we just saw. Like, I didn't think they really touched on anything.
I think it was just really a time for her to, you know, get into what everyone touched upon in those segments. But I think she was supposed to choose one.
Right. Oh, that's a perfect point. She was only
and then
supposed
she
to.
She was just like, "Oh, I just want to spend time with all of you, so you're all coming." I'm surprised more people weren't upset about that.
Right. And as you say that, I kill people who do this. And you know, when it was either Ari or someone else who was like, "No, everyone's going," and it was lame. And it usually
I think
sucks.
It happens at least once a season.
Totally. But I will say, I didn't mind this one. So I am part of those people that you're like, why weren't they mad? I don't know why I wasn't mad. This is a perfect example. I can't explain to you why I want what I want in this situation, but well, I was
yeah,
okay
why,
with her.
Yeah. Are you like, how are you going to choose one person after everyone just like gave you their darkest secrets?
Well, and so I would say pick anyone with the naked man, but then yeah. Naked man ends up winning getting the rose.
The rose.
Because he does finally scratch the surface of feelings, God forbid, and talks about. So I guess I should say, like, not everybody was just glossing over what they talked about before, because he talked about how he was heavier and then he had an eating disorder and nobody knew about it except what was his sister. And so now he's on national TV talking about it. So I'm like, if that doesn't tell you that, okay, I think I see that I'm not doing this properly. And if I'm going to be here, I might as well actually be here.
Yeah. Which good for him, because I mean, you really never hear any stories of men with eating disorders. And like, there was a lot on Twitter saying like, thank you for starting to normalize it. Like, which is true, because I feel like when you think of eating disorders, you just immediately think of women. Yeah. You just do. But he, like, you never hear a guy talking about it, especially on a Bachelor show, you know, totally. Or something, or a reality show like this.
Yeah. The perfect example of exactly what you're saying is, you know, anyone in my age range, which is late 30s, if you're into music and say, oh, man with an eating disorder, you're going to think of Silverchair. And if you know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. that's from the 90s. You know, the lead singer had talked about how he had an eating disorder. The fact that my frame of reference comes from the 90s just tells you that it's never talked about. And so mm-hmm. I mean, not only just the fact that he hadn't told anyone other than his sister, really, and now you're telling, you know, millions of people, that's a huge point. Like, these are the type of things that it's so much more prevalent than anyone wants to talk about. And hopefully that gives a couple, you know, even if, you know, it's a cliche because it's true. Even if one person is like, okay, I'm not weird. It is a real thing that's affecting a lot of people, and I can get help for it. So,
It just goes back to, like, these are real conversations that we're finally getting from one of these shows in this franchise.
Does it make up for Naked Man?
No.
It was fine for Tayshia, though, because he did end up getting the rose. And it's interesting how, as that's happening, the dudes are all together and we're having this sniping back and forth again with but then Spencer jumps in again, which we've gotten out of Spencer since he first arrived, and saying how, like, well, Bennett's condescending to everyone.
Yeah.
Not as a defense, but just saying, like, for him to say, I'm never
condescending.
That's just
who he is.
Yeah. That's who he is. But with Noah, he takes it to another level. So apparently Bennett is the only one who doesn't think Bennett is being ridiculous to Noah.
Sounds about right.
Because everyone else can see it. And, I was a little concerned when,
being is condescending. just him being in the room, like, he's being condescending.
Right. And, you know, Tayshia has this great, gives Ben the rose. This is great. Oh my God. And ends with Bennett, Noah, something's happening here and we're going to figure it out. I'm like, okay.
We need to talk.
Yes, exactly. Like, they're going to have the talk. Okay. All right. But not yet, because she has another one-on-one with Easy, and it was sort of like Bachelorette Blair Witch.
Yeah. Something like that.
Is that too old of a reference for you? I'm a little older than you. Okay.
No.
So you know what the Blair Witch is?
Yes.
Okay. So that I got major Blair Witch vibes, and I thought it was a great way to start, where he's just standing in the dark and she just basically makes him poop his pants. And we're like, okay, the rest of the date, I mean, was fine. At this point, I was watching this on DVR at like 1 a.m. So, I mean, there was nothing serious going on here. So, I mean, was any of this story true? I have no idea.
Yeah.
If it was, okay, I guess I shouldn't be making light of it, but I mean, I just assume it was all made up so that they could scare each other. But it was fine.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. They had fun. Like, they had cute interactions. I don't
like, oh, there's a doll and then a picture fell.
But they definitely like had fun with each other and and, you know, we're laughing through it. We're getting scared together. It was like just an okay date. There's definitely not a connection there. There's like a friendship.
I still thought that he was going to get the rose and going to stick around, because
I did too.
Especially the fact that they had a good date and then he sits down and he's like professing his love for her and, you know, has a total, you know, Milhouse moment Ralph Wiggum moment in The Simpsons when he's professing his love for Lisa and he's like, I don't like you. And he's like, you could see his heart breaking in slow motion.
Yeah.
That was easy. He's like, this is great. Oh my God. I'm opening up. I never do this. I'm falling for you. Yeah. You're going home.
Boom. Yeah. So I think this was a producer's.
Slow it down. You could see
pick.
Heart breaking.
I think this one was on producers. I think they had a good time. And I think, honestly, I do think that maybe he would have even gotten the rose. But there are some things going around saying that at this point, they think producers found out about his allegations that were happening outside the bubble. He had some like sexual harassment allegations going on. So they didn't know if they knew at this time or they knew after filming, and they were just like, we need to edit it out, like, this is how it happened, or, so I'm not really sure what's true. But like during the date, like they seemed, even meeting for dinner, like they seemed like they were, like she was dancing and they were like dancing towards each other, and they were, seemed like they were going to have a good dinner. And then he finally was like, I think I'm falling in love with you. And then she just had a stone response.
Arrow to the heart.
So he was not happy about it. Like he was not expecting it, which I don't think anyone was expecting it.
Huh?
And he it's said easy. It like he's just, he's honestly been a fan favorite for the whole time since the first episode.
Yeah. And he said it, he said great to goodbye in like a second. And that's exactly what happened. And so many times we see these dates and it's like, you could see like they should not be hanging out together. This should not be a thing, but like, yeah, I didn't find the date that interesting, but they were fine together.
Yeah. I think it's definitely more of like a friendship thing, but there was still a connection. Like there was still some sort of vibe happening. So I wonder what is true about the whole timeline of things, because it did just end. Like it just, she was just like, I don't feel the same way. You're going home. And then they like hugged and then he went in the, like they didn't even do an interview.
Oh yeah. That's a good point.
I mean, I guess there's no limo. Like, where are you going? You're in the, resort.
Should they really be finding out about this like 8 weeks in, where again, the audience, you're sort of crowdsourcing your background checks? Like what kind of background checks are they doing on these people?
Well, I don't know if, I think it might've been like a one, someone came forward type deal.
But 8 weeks?
I don't really know. There's not like an actual like good source about, well, not a good source, but
yeah,
there's like a reputable source.
Yeah, because that's the thing.
This whole allegation drama.
And anytime we'd come on here and say something positive about Easy, I would get not a lot, but a message or two just saying, hey, just so you know, he's a this or a that. And he very well could be. And if he is, listen, I'd certainly, you know, early on, I thought he'd be with this franchise for a while in Paradise. If any of that's true,
he's done.
And I don't think I need to hope for it, but because my certainly opinion doesn't matter, but we'll never see him again. But I hope we never see him again if any of those are true.
Right.
But it's so hard just because there's so much out there. And again, as bad as they've been with vetting people before, like how can Garrett even get on the show? Like how can Jed even get on the show? Like you have these certain things where people go all the way to the end where it's like, how did they get on the show, let alone last the entire time? But can I get an official word from someone in Bachelor Nation, please?
Yeah.
Like, because if it's true, send them to anywhere that'll take them.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand that she didn't, because she said, I can't give you this rose because I'm not there and I don't know if I can get there. But like, this is your first one-on-one. Like you haven't even, you just had a great time with him. Like, or maybe it was just, he came out too soon to say that he was falling in love with her and she didn't have that time to get those feelings yet. So maybe it was just that, but it literally was just like, I'm sorry, Easy. Is it okay if I walk you out? Like that was it. So,
So let's see, like if he's on, you know, Men Tell All, then maybe they weren't able to find anything about it. Cause if
any of it going to be a Men Tell All,
don't you have to do one? You just do it on Zoom,
but like on Zoom.
Yeah, that's how they did the challenge reunion this past season. They did it all.
True.
And honestly, it's better because you have less talking over each other, because you actually have, and it, you know, obviously it, you know, brings up the presidential debate, but it has mute buttons. You can actually control, like, okay, you talk. Now
that's
you
true.
Talk.
See, I was thinking it was going to be the opposite, and I was thinking it was going to be worse with the talking over, but I guess if everyone can be controlled.
Listen, you're going to lose out on like the, hey, do you really want to step outside? Like let's throw down, you know, who has the biggest penis debate, but what you get are actual conversations about things. And you can, you know, so a lot of times, you know, Chris will drop the grenade and like just let him go. But this time people actually have to answer the question, because it won't have like their buddy jumping in and then the person that had three lines jumping in because they want to, you know, they want to get on Paradise. So I'm going to, if you,
well, the men tell like all be with Tasia or Claire.
Forget Claire.
Or both.
Well, hey, if Claire is single by then, which very well could be with the hint she's been dropping, maybe she goes and says, well, actually, my second choice was this one, and pull a, you
easy.
Know, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, but this leads into, God, Claire. JoJo showing up to the guys again, and they're talking about, which was actually a staple of Claire, where they're waiting around like, I don't know what's happening. And listen, there will be a cocktail party, but first we're having a pseudo 2-on-1. See, I thought we were going to actually get a date. And I think we saw why it wasn't a 2-on-1, because this really was summed up in about 45 seconds. But let me ask you the question. I think I know the answer. But like any good lawyer, you know the answer of the questions you're asking. Was the gift that Bennett got Noah as condescending as Noah took it to be?
Yes.
That is the correct answer. Yes. Ding, ding, ding. You get a prize. What is Bennett doing? And I know we say that a lot, but usually, again, when Noah's not involved, it's sort of a fun, ha-ha, I'm the Harvard guy. But he could probably have just shown up.
But not only that, but he was making Noah look better.
This is what I'm saying.
It was doing the opposite of what he was intending to do.
Because Noah has all of the cards. He has Bennett saying the 0% chance that she picks you.
Yeah.
That's all he needs to say. And then he tells Bennett, we'll say that to Tayshia, which he claims he will. But then when Tayshia sits down, Noah can't articulate it. Yeah. So he could have totally gotten away with it, but he just,
well, then they're both like, I didn't know there was,
oh my God.
Like there was a problem between us. Like I didn't know until you pointed it out.
And this is why I think she has to send them both home, because, I think she will, because when she said like, I didn't expect to say goodbye like this, I think she sends them both home because they both just kept digging deeper. You have to at least have enough self-awareness that it's pretty clear that there's some awkwardness between you and that you guys have been sniping. So for you to just blatantly lie and say, oh no, I never noticed anything between us. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, she definitely should send both home. I don't think she's going to send both home. I don't know who she would send home, but I think after she finds out about, you know, what's in the box, like, I think Bennett's going home. I hope Noah goes home too, but and I think Bennett's definitely going home.
Most important question for the entire episode, maybe the entire season, maybe the entire series. When she said, what's in the box? What is the percentage of people watching the episode that repeated exactly the way you said it? What's in the box?
Yep.
Like,
that should have been her tagline. Like, Tasia, the new bachelorette, what's in the box?
Oh, Jesus. The only person that would enjoy that tagline is Blake.
Yeah.
But the as soon as she said that, I lost it, because all I can think about is, what's in the box? You never want to say what's in the box in any situation ever. It never ends well. And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a head in the box, because Bennett definitely could be a serial killer. Like 100% American Psycho vibes from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yikes.
But as we wind down from this episode, I hope they send them both. I'm going to say she sends both home. You say.
I hope they send both home, but I don't think, I mean, again, who would be left for the drama for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm saying,
because either one of them will stir it up with somebody else.
Yeah, I hope it's both, but I think Bennett's going to go home just because of the whole box situation.
Yeah, if there's one, I would agree with that.
Yeah, when she finds that out, she's not going to like that because she's already over this high school drama.
Well, and especially where back to back, you realize you're questioning my integrity. I don't believe I am. And then what's in the box? I mean,
yeah.
At that point, I mean, that would be a mistake of clarion levels if she keeps Bennett around after that.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily pro no. It's just, I mean, Bennett just keeps digging the hole.
Yeah.
And then next week we find out maybe Brendan doesn't want to get a proposal, which I don't think will turn Tayshia off, honestly.
No.
And Jared mentioned that when he was on with us. He said, listen, he didn't have any inside info. He just says, I don't think she leaves engaged. I think she leaves with someone.
Yeah, God forbid. I agree with that. I agree with that. I think she's not like just a serious relationship or just a relationship. But I mean, at this point, it's 2020. You can do whatever you want.
Well, we've said it for years. Why do you need to leave engaged? I understand. The show.
Yeah, it's the whole like show and finale portion. It's the ring. It's Neil Lane.
Totally. And you got to pay Neil. And I get it. But listen, I'm cool with it. If you just, God forbid, want to continue dating. Oh, my God.
After 6 weeks. Crazy.
Shocking. And then we find out that Zach at some point was cheating. So when I said earlier that his marriage didn't end because of cheating, maybe it did. And that leads us to what wasn't in this episode in Bachelor Nation. Katie?
Well, we have, I don't know if you saw, Ari has tested positive for COVID.
I did not see that.
Yep. He has COVID-19. And then also going on with him is, do you remember Taylor Nolan? Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
The original emotional intelligence. So
that's
it
right.
Kind of ties everything together. She and Ari are in a debate online. So he posted a poll on election day, not stating his stance on anything, not political, just saying, make sure you go out and vote. Like, basically, we're united. Like, who are you voting for? And you could choose who you're voting for, which is a terrible idea.
Yeah, that's not how you get a positive discussion started.
Anyway. So Taylor commented and was like, basically, how could you say we're united right now? Blah, blah, blah. Not going to get into it because I don't like politics. So, so it just started off like that. And then I don't think there was any back and forth after that. Then a few weeks later, she posted like a paid partnership ad about, I don't know what the thing was, but it was has to do with sex. And then he commented and was like, you're not classy, blah, 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 all this stuff. Then, so now she's claiming that he is sex shaming her. And she's like, how can you say I'm not classy? Like, my job now is a sex therapist. So like, this is my job. And then it just is spiraling out of control and it's still kind of going on. I don't think there's anything more recent than that. But they're going back and forth in this classy, unclassy war. Yeah. Which now he just has to deal with having COVID right now. And then Ryan Sutter.
This is the weirdest
Trista's,
story.
It's really weird. He, like months ago, he said he has this illness. Like it's a mysterious illness. It's flu-like. So all his symptoms definitely sound like all these COVID cases happening. But he's not positive at all for COVID and they can't figure out really anything that's wrong with him.
But then didn't she say she thought maybe it was cancer?
They thought it was cancer. They thought it was like some kind of lymphoma, like, but everything kept coming back negative. And he was trying to become a firefighter again and started feeling like not feeling himself. So he went to get tested. for all these things, and everything's negative. So he just basically feels awful. Some days can't get out of bed, and there's no reason for it. He's describing it as flu-like, and basically how he's describing it sounds like COVID, basically, with all these things, but there's nothing. And he's discovering that there's so many people out there that have the same mysterious illness, and there's no diagnosis really for it, which is really weird. But I guess it's getting worse, and some days he can't like even roll over in bed. Like, it's getting pretty crazy. So hopefully we can find some sort of something that's going on. Cause he definitely said he thought it was COVID. But he's taken tons of tests and they're all saying negative. So he's kind of just, I guess, just waiting it out for now.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw her post, and it was, again, I thought it was good news that like, hey, we ruled out cancer, which it is, but it's also, we have no idea what's happening.
Yeah. I would feel like you'd much rather obviously know what it is. Obviously you wouldn't want it to be cancer, obviously. So hopefully they can figure that out soon. And then the only other thing is Becca has been being asked if she would come back as a bachelorette again. And she said she would never say no, but she thinks she's too old now because she just turned 30. Oh, so
over the hill. Hello. Alert.
She thinks she's too old because she likes to sleep and she likes her bed too much. So
but
she's not ruling it out. So there is possibility. I would watch another season.
So would I. And
she was great.
Interesting. And I thought so too. And I understand, you know, no one, especially on the internet, is there to agree with everything. But I saw a few people during the episode when she visited going off about how, oh, I never wanted to see Becca on my TV again. I'm like, other than picking
when
a dude that
this
she didn't,
happen?
Yeah, like didn't know. She didn't
know.
Are you
getting her confused with someone else?
It was very bizarre. So yeah, I'd be down with that. I mean,
yeah,
that
she
was really good. Other than who she picked, but I don't blame that on her. This one of the few times you can, because she didn't have all the information.
She does get to keep her engagement ring because it has been past the 2-year mark. So she gets to keep it, but says she wants nothing to do with any of the diamonds. Like, she doesn't want to repurpose the diamonds
just
or anything.
It.
So. It's worth just about $100,000.
Okay.
She
which
said,
I think
so.
Which is probably like what she got to do the whole season. So
probably,
which is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, if you can then now double what you made from the season, you double what you made from the season.
Why not? Especially if you say, oh, it's Becca's ring from Bachelorette.
Come on,
probably go
Neil,
up.
You could get in this. You're selling it twice. I mean,
that's all I have.
Well, we're almost there. We're getting down on the nitty gritty. We will hopefully get an episode with a rose ceremony next week. I hate when we don't get a rose ceremony. It just leaves you feeling empty.
I feel like you're just so invested in the whole episode, and then it's like to be continued, and you're like, oh, I watched it for nothing.
You know, what's in the box? So we will be back next week with more Noah Bennett drama, hopefully not for much longer than 5 minutes of the episode. And, so we'll be back again next week. Thank you, Katie, as always.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.